Someone told me that many years ago, Reverend Bob, Bob Waldinger, was wandering around Newton looking for a place to play pool, and happened to wander into the First Unitarian Church where people were sitting very still, and thought that this was training for billiards, and has not figured out yet. and we are so glad that he hasn't. Bob is the practice leader at Hank, and is also a senior Dharma teacher and now priest.
And upon hearing those words, Priest Bob was greatly enlightened and went home. Yeah. How about that? No? All right. Well, like everything in my encounter with Zen, ordaining as a priest has not been what I expected it was going to be. Like 20-year-old James, I sort of had my fantasies about it. You know, it's a new hairstyle, and it's majestic robes, and really important precepts. Well, Julie outed my Bruce Willis fantasy on Sunday night that I'd look kind of tough, you know, but you can see how that worked out. And the robes? Well, there was a home-leaving workshop at the temple the weekend before Sesshin began. Some of you were there. And we got to try out our new robes. I got to sit in my new robes, and what I discovered is that they're hot and they're clingy and they go on forever. They give the phrase formless field a completely new meaning. So I'm sitting there listening to Dosho Port, who was teaching the workshop, and at one point he added all this material flowing around me, and he asked us to read something. So I went to pick up the piece of paper, and I realized that my right hand was buried in the sleeve. And no matter what I did, I couldn't get it out. And I knew that this was not rational, but I thought that I was never going to see my hand. Josh was sitting across from me and was just ready to bust a gut. So, and Dosho was teaching us, as we had asked him to do, about all the rules and regulations that priests have, and home leavers, monks, have abided by over the years and even now. And he gave us an example of some of the precepts that they take. One example is that monks were asked to vow to refrain from having sex with fruit. And, you know,
that was a hard.
I mean, quite frankly, that has not been an issue for me. And I'm sitting there thinking, who are these guys who become priests? So, but it took a darker turn for me, actually. Because as Dosha was telling us exactly what level your fingertips need to be as you gesho, and just how much of your spatula needs to protrude from your casing, and I was sitting there feeling like, this is not me. And everyone was being very respectful, and Dosha was doing exactly what we asked him to do, but I started telling myself a story about how I was not cut out to be a priest. That my intention, my so-called calling, was just some kind of delusion, maybe vanity, but clearly not genuine. And I drove home in a terrible place. And I thought about calling Melissa and telling her that I couldn't ordain. And then I needed to get up the next day and go to Hank, where I'm the practice leader. I was feeling like a terrible fraud. And I walked in, really somber and quiet. And everybody was going about their business. The Jiki was carefully setting up the altar. The bell sounded. Everyone sat with real intention. The chanting was beautiful. And suddenly my story vanished. Suddenly, it wasn't a waking up, it was more a welling up of the love that I feel for this practice. There were no dramatic turning words. There was no blow to the head. Nobody cut off my finger. People just held the forms. And then, priest, no priest, didn't matter. As David puts it, I was realigned with the thing that I loved. I think that we don't always fully appreciate what a gift we give each other when we hold these beautiful forms, when we bow in Gassho, when we strike the Doan, when we serve each other in Orioki. These forms that we can hold for each other even when we're in the midst of great doubt, great sadness, mild distaste for the person we are, great clarity. Whatever mind we bring, we can hold these forms. And what they are when we do this for each other is an invitation to intimacy. An invitation to notice that there is no separation. We pour the tea and we invite the awareness that there's no separation between giver, receiver, and gift. We take a step in the Kinhin line and it is like the sound of the single hand. Sometimes thunderously loud to those who are receiving it. And we do that whether we've been practicing for one day or 40 years. And we do that whether we feel like phonies or feel like we're being nourished in a way we've never been nourished before. My vow on Sunday night was that whatever heart, mind, body arises for me, whatever great doubt I have, or great clarity, or whatever Zen sickness I contract, I will show up here. I will hold this Sangha. And maybe the harder vow for me to make was that I will let the Sangha hold me. I will let all of you hold me and know what an incredible gift you give. We vow every day to take refuge in the Sangha. And those are vows that we renew every time we bow to the cushion. Every time we serve the tea to our neighbor. Melissa read us that koan on Sunday. The student asking, what is the business beneath the patch robe? What is this great matter that we're all so hungry for? Right now, we're deep into Sesshin. The back aches. The mind aches. And we feel like we can't sit for one more minute. But we sit. And when we notice, we pick up our shoulders and we hold ourselves a little more upright. And we put on the 7-piece robe at the sound of the bell. And we step mindfully in the Kinhin line. And that's how we answer each other's question. What is this great matter? What am I doing here? Some moments I don't have the answer. Some moments you don't have the answer. So we answer each other with these beautiful practices. Intimacy. And the teaching gets heard, and we wake up and we say, oh, yeah, intimacy. Intimacy.